Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Rick Tyler.
And I'm Mark Martin. We're happy you're with us this evening. It is May 14th, 2015, and every week you can catch us here on New Visions Radio at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
It's great to be back with you to record another program to the folks that are listening and open the Word of God. That's the most important thing.
Yes, it is. Last week we started in John chapter 14.
We did. We maybe covered some ground some people haven't heard before.
So I think after we get started, we should do a brief review
okay.
of just a couple of the topics mm-hmm. we talked about. And we'll be picking it up in verse 19 this evening. So, but before we do, we want to welcome everybody to tune in each week right here on newvisionsradio.com. We thank you for tuning in. And how do they contact us, Rick, on our website?
Well, the easiest way is email. And the listeners can email me at rick@prophecyhope.com.
Or you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com. You might want to check out the website. All of our old programs are archived there. And also, check out our Facebook page. Sometimes we'll put something on there. We'll make a post. We took a little excerpt from last week's program and put it on there. Sometimes we'll put a little interesting snippet of a video or a sermon that we've done. And on the website, you'll be able to find all of the sermons that we have given through our series. And you will also hear sermons that we give at Sabbath worship as well.
That's right. Just go to Facebook and search for Prophecies of Hope, and you should be able to find us. You know, I would like to remind listeners, if you have a prayer request, we'd be happy to be praying for you and your family, your friends, those that you have a burden for. And you know, this is a scriptural and biblical understanding of what we can do in prayer.
That's right.
Mark, I have my Bible open to Colossians 1:9.
Okay.
And here Paul is saying he's going to pray for those that want to do God's will.
Yes, he does.
And maybe the listeners can look that up on their own. It says, "Do not cease to pray for you," is what Paul says. And this is to the people that are there. So let's bow our heads and we'll open the program.
Sure.
Father in heaven, I thank you and I praise you as the one God of all the universe, the creator God of everything we know. I thank you and praise you that you've given us your word, not only the written word, but the word that came forth from you in eternity, Jesus Christ. Father, I do pray for each one of our listeners today, and I lift them up to you. Father, help all of our collective understanding here as we open your word. May your spirit guide us. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, Rick, you mentioned in your prayer just now that God's spirit would guide us. And we talked about that spirit some last week, didn't we?
Yes, we did. And that is the focus of what Jesus is trying to get through to his disciples here right after the Last Supper there on that Thursday night,
right,
just before Christ was crucified into the morning of Friday morning. We would call that, Christians would call that Good Friday.
Yes, that's right. And now let's just, as a brief review, talking about the things you've kind of set us up at the time period.
Mm-hmm.
But we had talked a little bit last week and you had asked me a specific question and you explained it very well. We were talking about the Spirit of God and we had focused a lot of attention here on these last few verses that we read last week where Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments,"
mm-hmm.
in verse 15.
Right.
Can you, just as a review, just read the next couple of verses there, maybe through verse 18, and give us a brief explanation?
Well, remember back in verse 6, we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes,
we did see
that. That's
what he told us. So I think it's important to keep those concepts in mind. He's the way to salvation. He's the way to the Father. Mm-hmm. He's the truth of the Father.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and he's also has the life of the Father in him. Everything goes back to our Heavenly Father and his literal Father.
Yes, that's right.
So in verse...
John chapter 14.
John chapter 14.
Mm-hmm.
And in verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." This is a little interesting little side text that's like right. sandwiched in between here. If we have any hope of being in God's grace, in his pleasure, of God smiling on us, we want to do what our Creator has asked us to do.
Mm-hmm.
I know this last weekend I read a text that said that his commandments are not grievous.
Yes, mine says burdensome. They're not burdensome.
Right. And they're just guidelines or guardrails for life.
Right.
So when I look at verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, I look at verse 16 and 17 and 18 as the way, that's Jesus, is going to help us keep the commandments.
Very good.
And that he's going to send his spirit to be inside of us, his spiritual presence.
Yes.
And that's what he's describing to his disciples right here.
Right.
So he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, I believe this is just Jesus speaking in the third person, mm-hmm. like he's done so many times in Scripture before, speaking about the Son of Man.
Right.
The Son of Man will be lifted up. The Son of Man will be crucified. This
right.
is just Christ speaking again in the third person about himself as the comforter. Even the Spirit of Truth in verse 17. The Spirit of Truth is Christ's
Spirit. Yeah, the
truth is
Christ, isn't it? Yeah, that's what we said.
Yeah. Whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not. So in a spiritual sense, they couldn't understand or couldn't see Jesus with spiritual eyesight.
Right.
Neither knoweth him. That's what we're talking about. And reading on, but ye know him. In other words, Jesus is talking to his disciples. You know who this comforter is.
Sure.
Okay.
And it tells
For
you why.
He dwelleth with you.
Yes.
And shall be in you.
So, in other words, what we're saying when we look at this text is Jesus is speaking of himself.
Yes.
So when he says, for he dwells with you and shall be in you, what's the next verse say?
It's the key to all of it. It says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you.
So we mentioned this last week, and we wanted to kind of reiterate this because this is a new concept to a lot of people, because some people have this understanding that there's this third person within the Godhead.
Mm.
And, you know, we understand that there's the Father and the Son, and we recognize that there is a Holy Spirit, but this isn't a separate or third individual. Would you agree with that statement?
That's the perfect way to put it. You know, I think all of Christendom is underneath this understanding
mm-hmm.
or this, you know, I hate to be too hard on them, but it's really the tradition of men that they have followed
right.
when Christendom believes that this is a third person
right.
that somehow comes to us.
And I think the majority of people who are doing that are doing it because perhaps they just haven't studied it. And this is what we're called to do. We're called to study these things. Paul said that we should be like the Bereans in Acts chapter 17.
You know, I'm imagining a lot of people listening to us saying, but the Bible is clear. This Holy Spirit, he comes to us. He teaches us things. He has a personality. He intercedes for us and over again. And friends, these are all things that Jesus is providing through us through his spiritual presence, even though he is personally present in heaven right now.
Yes.
His spiritual presence is with us. Hmm. It's his omnipresence.
Right.
And, you know, when we read and have that understanding with all these texts about the Holy Spirit, it gives us a different understanding. And what's beautiful about that understanding is Jesus was the one who lived here on this earth. Mm-hmm. Jesus was the one who died for each one of us. He's the one that was resurrected by his heavenly Father and now intercedes for us in a personal way to the Father. So why wouldn't we want this spiritual presence of Christ to enlighten us in our hearts and minds right here?
You know, I remember you saying this one time. I guess it's been a couple of years ago. We were talking to some friends of ours about this topic, and you explained it so well, Rick, because if I remember right, you said, who is this Spirit? Do I want a person who has never been a human, has never experienced what I've experienced, has never felt what it feels like to be a human being, has never experienced the pain that I can feel as a fleshly person, to be my comforter?
Mm.
It was something like that. Do you
remember?
That's
a very good point. But Jesus has done all those things.
Yes. So who better to be our comforter than Christ himself? He has been tempted in all ways as we have.
That's right.
So this third person that Christianity for the most part teaches hasn't experienced that, if it was in fact a third person.
Yeah, that's right.
I think it's important here too let's go ahead and pick it up in John chapter 14, because there's a thought here that still needs to be completed, I think.
Okay.
In verse 19, Jesus says, "A little while longer and the world will see me no more, but you will see me, because I live, you will live also. At that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you."
What day is that?
Well, he says here, "A little while longer and you will see me no more, but at that day you will know." Wouldn't that be after he has went back to heaven?
It must be.
And verse 21 says, "And he who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him."
Wow, that's really clear in verse 21, isn't it?
It seems to be.
But Mark, I'd like to take a break from that and just talk about this day that we, or those disciples, and we by extension, we are disciples of Christ,
yes,
shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you.
Okay.
What day is that?
Didn't that happen when the Holy Spirit was poured out sometime in Scripture?
Yes. I want to take a look at that.
The day of Pentecost?
The day of Pentecost. But I also would like to look at John chapter 20.
Okay.
We got to give a little background. Because Christ did, although the Spirit of the Father and Son was poured out fully at Pentecost,
right,
Christ did, he promised that he would not leave his disciples comfortless.
Oh, I know where you're headed.
Okay. So here in John chapter 20, we see this woman that comes to, this is Mary, that comes to find Jesus, open the tomb or somehow anoint his body after the fact, right?
Well, yeah, she thought that he was still in the tomb, but when she got there, he had already been resurrected.
Right, right. So would you read verse 17?
All right. It says, John chapter 20, verse 17 says, "Jesus said to her, 'Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.'"
Well, that's a huge text, isn't it?
It is.
Does Jesus have a God?
He does.
He certainly does. So what happens after that? In verse 18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Okay, in verse 19, "Then the same day at evening," being the first day of the week. So Jesus rose on the first day, right?
Right.
"When the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, 'Peace be unto you.'" Okay?
Yep.
"And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord, and said Jesus unto them, 'Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you.' And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, 'Receive ye the Holy Spirit.'" So that same day, as soon as he could get back here after he had ascended to his Father,
right,
he breathed on them this Holy Spirit, this comforter that is his spiritual presence.
That's right. We might have talked about this before. I know there are some listeners, and I just had this conversation this past Sunday.
Okay.
With someone who had called me, who has found the Prophecies of Hope website, who's been listening, a regular listener.
Mm-hmm.
And we had talked about this ascending to the Father.
Okay.
And he was a little troubled at that, because he says, no, Jesus didn't ascend until, you know, later on in the book of Acts. It tells us that, you know, that they saw him ascend. But when we talked about this verse where it says, "I am ascending to my Father and your Father," there's a time period between there and that evening when he shows up, because this was early in the morning.
Right.
And it was later in the day when he shows up there. So evidently, we have to conclude, in my understanding, that Jesus did go to present his sacrifice, what he had done, to his father, and then came back.
I think you're right. There was something different about Christ after his resurrection.
Yeah, because here he's telling Mary, stop clinging to me. And then a few verses down, he's telling Thomas, here, touch and see that I'm real.
Right.
So there's something there, and I think he very quickly saw that that was the case.
Yeah, we get from the text that the disciples inspected his hands. They saw his hands and the spear hole in his side.
Right.
Okay, or sword hole. I forget, spear or sword.
Yeah, they had jabbed some kind of a spear, I think it was.
Yeah, so although Christ, they could recognize Christ, I'm sure it was just almost unbelievable to them that here Christ was alive, even though he predicted that he would raise after the third day.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously he had, perhaps he could have looked a little different because wasn't he given a glorious body? Wouldn't he have been?
Yeah, maybe that's another study.
I don't know. Yeah. So,
we go back to verse 21 of John 14.
Is that where we were?
And right at the end, it says, Jesus is promising, I will manifest myself to anyone who loves my Father and me, is what he says.
Yeah, so he's reiterating again, he who has my commandments and keeps them. Mm-hmm. And I think this doesn't just include a few of them or just part of them or nine of them, but all 10. And I think that a big part of this is recognizing the first commandment, which is who the true God actually is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You see where I'm headed?
Yeah, I do. So, we have to know who God is.
We do.
And that's revealed in Scripture alone.
Yes.
I mean, how do I find out about who God is from other people unless I test all that by the Scriptures?
Absolutely.
So, in verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself unto us and not unto the world? Wow. This tells it all about our understanding of this scripture.
Right.
Because those that truly want to do God's will and are seeking to follow the true God will have a measure of his spirit.
Yeah, that's right.
Abiding inside them.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the indwelling Christ, right? Isn't that what we call it?
That's right.
And in fact, I think let's just look at a text very quickly. And I believe it's in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 27. Well, you know what? I want to read verse 26 first. Maybe I should back up. Let me back up. I'm going to back up to verse 24. We have to get this in its context. It's very important.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Colossians 1, 24. It says, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. So this is Paul speaking.
Mm-hmm. Right? He's talking about his ministry and how he has an obligation, a moral obligation.
Yes.
To preach what's true.
To preach the things that he's known about Christ Jesus.
That's right.
And it's interesting, the words that he uses in the very next verse, in verse 26, he says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints.
Okay.
Now, you and I have talked about this mystery in the past. We talked about it in a lecture that was given on the Prophecies of Hope 2014 series under the Dangers of Comfortable Christianity. Many people use the word mystery when they're speaking about the Godhead, don't they?
Yes, they do.
But everywhere that we can see, with the exception of perhaps one text in the Bible, the mystery is always revealed in Christ Jesus.
That's right.
Well, the very next verse, verse 27, says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is, what does your translation say, Rick?
It says, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
That's what mine says.
Okay.
So when you were talking about this text back here in John, let me go back there. Sorry, I'm doing this the old-fashioned way. When you go back here and you talk about this, wanted to know, where did you read
in verse 22.
Right.
And yet, then
you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world. In other words, if we receive Christ, if we have the indwelling Christ, Christ in you, that's open to anybody. Any human being can have Christ in them, but there's something that must happen. What has to, what do we have to do? What is there something that we do? Is it something that he does for us? Is it a combination of the two?
I think it all goes back to the verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments.
There you go. If we're living up to the light that we have, even if we don't know, you know, for many years of my life, there were commandments, one of them in particular, that I wasn't keeping because I didn't know. But if Christ would have come at that time, and I believe at that time I had the indwelling Christ because I was living up to the light that I have. So one of the things that I wanted to make clear is just because somebody doesn't believe exactly like we do at this time doesn't mean that you don't have the indwelling Christ.
Maybe they're living up to all the light that they have.
This is the important thing. And I think that some people get the idea that, well, you're saying that if we don't believe like you believe that we're lost. No, we're not saying that at all. But given the opportunity to learn things, if you reject it, now you're starting to push Christ out. You're pushing out the indwelling Christ. You're saying, I don't want you in here. I don't want to hear what you have to say.
Look, it all goes back to this verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Do we love the Word of God, Christ Jesus, all the principles that go along with God's Word, the Bible?
Yes.
His character. Do we love those things more than our traditions, more than what we think is right, more than what the things of the world have taught us? Doesn't it all come back to that?
It does.
And then we're going to see his commandments more and more clearly.
Yeah, and it's very difficult to let go of the things that we have known all of our life, even if they're in error. It's
cyclical. One builds on the other. When we have a desire to want to do what God wants us to do, to love him with the love that he showed for us, then we have more and more of the Spirit of Christ living in us.
Right.
And Christ teaches us more and more about how we give more and more honor and glory to our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
So it goes on and on and on. And we come to the place where we are being cleansed or sanctified of all the things that, you know, rub off on us, so to speak, in the world.
That's true. Very true. So what we're saying, I guess, is yes, there are requirements God has. Some people think, well, that's works. But to me, it's not works for me not to steal from my neighbor or not to commit adultery or to not bow down to a false god. If they're a part of me, it's going to make me a better person.
Aren't those just natural things that come out of a love for God?
Yes, and a love for mankind.
Yes. It's just like we've said this over and over on this program, that there are certain rules that we have in each of our marriages.
Yes, that's right.
Those aren't works. Those are because we love our spouse and we want to uphold the relationship that we have with our spouse.
There you go.
It's the same thing with God.
Verse 23, Jesus answered and said to him, so he's speaking to Judas, but not, this is not Judas Iscariot.
Right.
It says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our home with him.
Who?
It says here, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we, that's Jesus and his Father, isn't it?
So that's two.
Yeah.
That's the Father.
And
Jesus is very clear about who his Father is.
Yes.
That's the Creator God, the God of heaven over all the universe.
The God of Christ also, as we just read in John chapter 20.
That's right.
So he says, we will come to him and make our home with him.
Now, this is not just talking about the end of time.
No.
Where we see the New Jerusalem descending.
This is also in a spiritual
this
sense.
This is also a spiritual level. That's right.
And so I think that is now. We can have them with us now.
So what does verse 25 say?
Let's read 24 first.
Okay.
It says, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you.
Ah.
Aha! Yeah.
So really,
good.
Jesus is trying to get them to understand that there's a difference between his physical presence and his spiritual presence.
That's good. Yeah.
And it's difficult for them to wrap their minds around it.
Sure. It is it's a difficult thing now for us. Let's
face because we live in a physical, if I can't lay my hands on it, it doesn't exist kind of world.
Right. And, you know, the devil has done a lot to create doubt with people.
And confusion.
And confusion.
Yeah.
Right. We call that in the Bible, it's called Babylon, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The word Babylon means confusion. And this is exactly what the devil has done. And friends, this is what the devil wants to do with the Father and the Son. He wants to create that confusion, that havoc, that he wants you to believe that God is a mystery. But God revealed himself to us in his Son, Christ Jesus, who is the image of the living, invisible God.
That's awesome.
It is. And I don't believe that God is, he's invisible to us in our sinful state. But we're told in Scripture that we shall see his face.
Yep.
So when we get our immortal bodies, we will be able to see that realm that God lives in.
Hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing.
And, you know, this isn't just me speaking. I just want to turn here very quickly. I had to show this to a friend over the weekend. We were talking. It's in Matthew chapter 5. Jesus says right here very clearly in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God."
Wow. There it is.
And I believe that's talking about the Father. We know we're going to see Christ coming in the clouds. So when he says they shall see God, I believe he's speaking of the Father. One mm-hmm. last text along that same line is in Revelation chapter 22. When it talks about, it says, "And there shall be no more," verse 3, "there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it." Now, God is the Father, and the Lamb is Jesus, right?
Obviously.
Yeah, and it says, "And his servants shall serve him, they shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads." Whose name is that?
Well, that's God himself.
Yeah,
that's
the name
Jehovah.
Of the Father. Yeah.
Jehovah, Yahweh.
Right.
I'm sure he's going to give us the proper pronunciation
of
his name when we
really
get there.
We really don't know how to say it. It's the English and the Hebrew understanding as far as we know. So these are exciting things to me, you know, that we're reading these things, that we can come to an understanding, and we need to know the God that we worship. And these are the things that I believe Jesus was telling them. You know, they were worried. Jesus is going to leave us. What are we going to do? Well, he's saying, "I'm going to be in you. I'm going to be with you. I will lead you through my presence."
And that promise is reiterated in the next verse. Okay. Are we up to verse 26?
26, yes.
"But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said to you." Well, Mark, I gave a presentation over the weekend on this phrase, "all things."
Yes.
I had a lot of those texts. And I was trying to show that the Father has given the Son all things.
That's right.
All knowledge, all understanding, all power. So when the Son comes to us in a spiritual form here as the Comforter, he can teach us all things. He can give us all the power we need to overcome this sinful world.
Amen.
So that is very powerful. God just doesn't leave us to our own devices now that we know the truth and understand the plan of salvation. He gives us Christ in a spiritual understanding, a spiritual sense, to give us the power that we need to obtain Christ's victory.
There you go. So that makes us, because we believe that God is directly involved in our lives, that makes us, according to my buddy Stu, that makes us theists.
Okay.
Not deists.
I would agree with him.
Yeah. Because we believe that God is interactive with us.
He is. And I think if we want Christ in our lives, Christ brings this presence of the Father with him when he comes and influences our hearts and minds. Hmm. So this Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit is not just the spiritual presence of Jesus, but it's the spiritual presence of the Father too, because Jesus is interceding on a spiritual level with us.
Okay, that makes sense to me. So friends, if you have any questions about this, please feel free to email us, and we'll try our best to, you know, if we need to have a conversation or if we need to do it through email, we're happy to help you either way we can. any way that we can. Because sometimes these things are difficult to understand, and there might be questions in your mind that we haven't addressed because maybe we haven't thought of them from your perspective. So don't be afraid to do that by any means.
So we're almost done with chapter 14.
Okay. Where were we there? You just read verse
26.
26. Okay, so 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, but when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here."
Okay, there's a couple things in these verses. Verse 27, Christ's peace he leaves with us.
Hmm.
Now, to me, in context of what we've been reading, when we have the presence of Christ with us, it's going to give us a sense of peace that the world could never provide for us.
Oh, I agree, yeah.
And that sense of peace is wrapped around not so much about being safe from all the things that happen in the world.
No, but because tragedies befall us all.
That's true.
Yeah.
Because we live in a sinful world.
Sure.
But the peace is about no matter what happens to us, where we go or what we do, we have an understanding that it's going to be okay.
Right.
That in the end, God is going to work everything out for us.
The hope that we have as Christians is beyond any that I know of.
Mm.
And friends, if you are new to Christianity, if you've never experienced this, I don't think I can explain it. You have to have experienced the peace that you can have. You know, I used to, many years ago, I was always afraid. I was really afraid of dying. It was a horrible fear. And even though I had been taught all of my life that when you die, you're dead, you know, you know nothing at all, I had this fear of being in that state. I guess because I knew that at that time my relationship with God and Christ wasn't where it was supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
So my fear was, will I be alive for eternity or dead for eternity?
I see.
And I think most of us want to live.
I think each one of this is a promise, okay? And I think that each one of us should try to pray for this peace that only Christ can give us. Mm. Because if he promised it, why don't we take advantage of this?
That's a great point.
And our minds can be transformed in a way that we couldn't have otherwise. We can have an understanding that no matter what I go through during the day, Jesus has my back, so
that's
to speak.
It. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, I really think that the advice that Jesus gave, I believe it was in the Sermon on the Mount, where he says, ask and you will be given, seek and you will find,
right,
knock and the door will open. Mm-hmm. So if we do those things, I think sometimes we're afraid to ask.
Mm, that's a good point.
I have, you know, my prayer life has changed a lot over the years, and I've learned a lot in the last 5 or 6 years about prayer. Most of them were very mechanical. You only ask for certain things. You only should pray about certain things. God wants to be involved in every aspect of our lives that we will allow him to be involved in.
Mm, that's exactly right.
I think any parent, if their child wants them involved in a particular aspect of their life, whether it's the games that they're playing, the hobbies that they have, if they want to go for a hike, if they want to spend time with their other friends, if they invite a parent, 9 times out of 10, the parent's going to want to be with them.
I agree.
So if we ask our Heavenly Father into our lives and ask, like Rick said, for this peace, or we ask for the peace of mind that only Christ can give, then I believe that he will fulfill that desire.
I do too. Very much so. And I would say that I've experienced that on a personal level.
Hmm. I know you have.
That peace is deeper and deeper today than it's ever been, because I know that Christ has promised his presence to us.
Yeah, just when you think that you have as much as you can possibly have, it seems like God can pour out more blessings.
This verse 28 is an interesting verse. It says, "Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you." Now, that's what we've been talking about, right, Mark?
Right, yes.
The Christ is going away. He's not only coming again at the end of time,
right,
but he's coming to us in a spiritual sense now.
Yes.
"If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said, I go to my Father, for my Father is greater than I." Now, I think we can explain this by saying Christ at this point could not give the Comforter because he hadn't returned to his Father.
That's correct.
Okay, and a proof text for this would be John chapter 16, just two chapters forward, and verse 7.
Okay.
Jesus says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." And this is, again, Christ speaking in the third person, like right, he's done so many times. So it's important for Christ to go through everything he had to go through so that he could return to his Father and send his spiritual presence. Evidently, this was something that Christ laid aside or had given up before he came as a human being to this earth. And now Christ is going to receive everything back from his Father that he had before. I think John chapter 17, Christ prays for this and asks for these things back that he had before the world began.
Yes, and we see in 1 Corinthians that he gives that to him.
Okay.
That all of that goes back. And I think maybe when we get to John 17, we can go to those texts.
Yep, we can come right back to that. Right.
So any further thought here in John chapter 14?
There's one more proof text
okay,
for this, and that's John chapter 7 and verse 39. Mark, would you read 38?
Yes, Jesus says, John 7:38.
Maybe 37, 38, and 39.
Okay. Verse 37 of John chapter 7 says, "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified."
Now, this is the ultimate proof text for what we've been, our understanding about John chapter 14. Christ went back, was glorified after his resurrection, and came back and breathed this Holy Spirit
That's
of
what
his.
We read in chapter 20.
In chapter 20.
Yeah.
Breathed on them the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
So this is the reference here that we're going over back at the end of John chapter 14.
Very good.
Verse 29 says, "And now I've told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe." Okay.
Right.
So he's really trying to get them to understand, but at the same time, until it happens, until you have Christ in your heart, it's hard to understand these spiritual concepts.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Any more comment on John chapter 14?
I think we're ready to move along.
Okay.
Because this conversation continues. I mean, this, you know, the chapters are put there, but the same thought continues. If you remember, he said, let's go from here.
Okay.
So Jesus continues speaking here in chapter 15. He says, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me." Jesus goes on. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withheld, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples.
Yeah, so this is all fits in to the understanding that he just gave the disciples in chapter 14.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's hard to read it any other way now.
It is.
We don't want to live in or have someone else live in us in a spiritual sense. I don't know who that person is, but I know who Jesus Christ is.
Right. And if we have the Spirit of Christ, that is Christ in you.
This is the Spirit of truth.
Right. It makes sense to me.
Yeah. And it fits in. These words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life, Jesus told us.
Yeah. That's
so
right.
These words are abiding in us. They're really the presence, the understanding, the Spirit. There's no other way to say it. The Spirit of Christ.
Also, Christ is called the Word.
Yeah.
So the Word dwells in us.
Yes.
These words are Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting. I guess you want to start in verse 9, Rick?
Sure. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even if as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Mark, isn't that the perfect example of what we would call the divine pattern?
Yes.
The Father and Son. See, the Son keeps the Father's commandments, and that's the perfect example for us.
Yeah,
we keep
right.
the commandments of the Son, which really are the commandments of the Father anyway.
Because everything comes from the Father.
Right.
That's beautiful.
These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known to you. Any comment?
You know, it's beautiful to me that Jesus loves us enough to teach us everything that he's taught us.
Yeah.
To live the life that he lived.
We're being let in, really, on the understandings, the beauty of the relationship of the Father and Son.
Yeah. And to know, you know, I've said this so many times, and I hope it never gets old. I know it won't to me. To think that the Father allowed his Son to lay down his life mm-hmm. for us, that he gave that sacrifice of his Son, and that his Son did it willingly, and that he calls us his friends if we just simply listen to him.
Mm-hmm. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Why is it not that simple in my personal life?
I don't know. I think the world gets in the way of
it does
and life gets in the way. I mean,
it does.
You know, you and I work secular jobs, and mm-hmm. these things are distractions because we get involved in those things, or we do something, or it's just, this is the way the world is. But even on our jobs, sometimes there have been times, Rick, that you and I, we work at separate places, mm-hmm. and maybe at lunchtime I'll call you or you'll call me, and I'll say, hey, I need you to pray for this or that, or you know, or we'll just chat a little bit, or you'll do the same. You sent me a text this morning
mm-hmm.
that someone needed prayer. And so I stop at that point of the day. These are the things that we need to be doing. And this keeps our focus not on the tasks at hand that we're doing now, but on our Heavenly Father, which will help us to focus better on the things that we're doing.
I agree.
It's just a great cycle.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
In verse 16, he says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. Because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Any comment?
Jesus said earlier to the Pharisees that he was sent by his Father.
Yes.
And they basically said he was blaspheming.
Yes.
These disciples, he's telling them, well, you just read it right there. All these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if we don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then we're rejecting his Father as the true God.
Yeah, I agree.
And I know that some people that might listen, that might rub them wrong, but I can't change what God's word says.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mark. I think it's unfortunate that we would rather put the traditions of men and the things that maybe we've learned all of our lives ahead of what the Bible truly says about the Father and the Son.
Yeah. In verse 19, it says in my translation here, it says, if you were of the world would love its own. So when we say of the world, we live in the world,
mm-hmm.
but we're not to be of the world. How would you explain that? We live in the world, but we're not to be of the world.
Well, it's got to be a spiritual concept,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
But the literal application of this has got to be that even though we live here on the earth itself,
yes.
physically, that we don't have to buy into all the things that are worldly about where we live.
Right.
We don't have to buy into all the things that society today says
is right.
Are right
or
and
acceptable.
Good. Yeah.
Because all things that the world accepts are not acceptable to God.
Yeah, that's right.
So we have to know, in order to know the Father and the Son and what pleases them, then we need to get into the Bible. We need to learn these things. And there are going to be some vices and things that we have in our lives that are going to be very difficult to get rid of.
I agree with that. This is all about keeping the commandments. If you love me, keep my
right.
commandments. And Jesus keeps coming back to that.
He does, over and over. And Paul mentions this too later on, but go ahead.
Would you rather have a love for God and recognize that doing things in the right way, in a righteous way, is much better for us, much better for those around us, and that's a better way to live?
Sure, it is.
I think that's the point Jesus is trying to make.
You know, even if there were, let's just suppose for a moment that there was no promise, no hope for the Christian, no hope for anybody that believed in God.
Mm-hmm.
If you just lived your life according to what the scriptures say, your quality of life is going to be better either way.
Your relationships with everybody around are going to be a lot better.
Absolutely.
Because you wouldn't lie to them.
Right.
You'd treat them with love and respect all
sure.
the time.
There okay. would be no infidelity in marriages.
Right.
You know, you would show respect for people just based on the
and the things that they own. And there right. wouldn't be this prideful covetousness, which is the last
yeah.
commandment, you know.
That's right.
That would take away a lot of the jealousy and the envy that we have in life. If we
children
could do away with that.
To their parents, right?
Right.
All of these things.
Hmm.
I mean, it's tremendous just by living the quality of life that the Bible suggests. Just by doing the things God is asking, our whole life can be changed even if we don't believe in God. How amazing is that?
Mark, haven't you met people who generally live up to these principles but don't have an understanding
yes,
of God?
Yes, I have. And they, you know what? I have to admit that their quality of life is very good. And I believe that's a blessing that comes from God based on just living your life a good way.
Yeah.
I
know that you're right.
Yeah. So this is just, it's wonderful to talk about. I think we're going to finish this chapter, Rick.
Yeah, we might. Because there are good principles in this chapter, and I think there's a lot of underlying theology, but
sure.
we've covered a lot of it already.
Yes, and so a lot of this is pretty much self-explanatory based on the things we've already talked about. And there's some more meat coming up in the next couple of chapters.
Yeah, there is.
Too. So where do we leave off? You were reading up through... I'm terrible about that. I need to
I read verse 20, didn't I?
Okay. I believe so, yes.
And verse 21, I think I read that.
Okay, so let's just read verse 22. It says,
yeah, here's some theology.
Yeah, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not They would have no... Let's see. Let me start that over. Verse 22 says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would have no sin. But now they have no excuse for their sin.
Ah.
Wow. So there's some accountability.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
It's interesting. You know, we've talked a little on this program about the robe of righteousness that Christ gives us.
Yes, we have.
The covering of the lamb that God slaughtered what we believe to be lambs.
Yes.
To when Adam and Eve knew that they were naked in the garden.
And, yes, that's in the first Genesis, three, the third chapter.
Right. My version here, this is the King James, says they have no cloak for their sin.
Okay. So no covering, are we
no
saying?
No covering. Yeah. Right.
That's, you know, that. Boy, I tell you, so much is lost in translation.
Yeah, it is.
And friends, I want to apologize. Rick and I use the New King James, and he uses the King James, which is a superior translation in my understanding. But I use the New King James because it does use a more modern language. And this is where I think we work well together, because he has a truer translation, and it helps keep us on that narrow path.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very important. But I use this because I do a lot of evangelism and I speak to a lot of people and they don't understand some of the older language.
Mm. So, Mark, can we discuss briefly, if they didn't know, basically, if you don't know what's good and evil, how can you choose between what's good and evil?
You can't. And that's why Acts 17:30 says that God winks at us in our times of ignorance.
Okay.
But here's the thing, friends. It doesn't mean that you say, well, you know, I don't want to know, so I'm not going to look into it. That's the sin of omission. You're saying, I don't want to know.
Yeah, well, so you hide your eyes from knowing the truth?
Yeah.
See, yeah, that's just as bad.
That's just as bad.
So verse 23, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Verse 24, if I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. In other words, he's saying there's no excuse for the people in the world now, right?
Right. That's right.
But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without cause. Verse 26, when the Comforter is come, who I will send to you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning.
Do you have a comment on verse 26?
Just that, again, here is Christ speaking of himself, this different form of himself, this another comforter. Well, he is the true comforter.
Right. Well, you know, we've heard this expression many times, and I'm sure you as the listener have heard that there is a third person of the Godhead, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what we've heard?
Mm-hmm.
You'll hear that there are three beings, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the Godhead.
Mm-hmm.
And you made a comment earlier about how many times in Scripture Jesus speaks in the third person.
Yes.
He's speaking in the third person. In other words, when he says, the Son of Man shall come, he's speaking about himself. It's speaking in the third person.
Yes.
But he's not speaking for the third person, because there isn't a third person.
Yes, that's true. Our listeners need to know, we believe in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That Spirit is the spiritual presence of the Father and the Son.
Yes.
And it's clear here from John 14, 15, 16, and 17 that they will come and make their abode with us. That's the Father and the Son.
Okay, very well put. And I think that you're going to get more and more of this as we go through. If there are any questions, again, about this program, you might go back and listen to last week's program, because it lays the foundation for what we just discussed this evening. Go ahead.
If the listeners want to go back and listen to that program, that's the program for the 7th of May.
There you go.
The 7th of May.
And we have them dated on the website. So if you look at them right at the very bottom, you'll see the broadcast date.
Mm-hmm.
We put that on every one. There's only 21 chapters in John, so probably within the next 6 or 7 programs, we'll have this whole chapter covered. And keep in mind, this was not a comprehensive study.
Yeah, you're right.
Believe it or not. So any other thoughts, Rick, before we close?
No. No, I don't think so. I appreciate the time to study with you, Mark.
I do too. Let's pray together, shall we? Heavenly Father, we're grateful for the truths that you have given us in your word. Father, we're grateful that we can study these things as we do, that we live in a country where we can openly discuss, and we just pray your blessing upon this program, mm-hmm. that many people will be able to hear it, that if they have questions, that they won't hesitate to ask, because, mm-hmm. Father, we're all seeking the truth, and we want to know what that is, and we just pray that you will guide and direct those who have listened, those who have joined us here, and that those who will listen in the future will get a blessing from it as well. So please be with us until we come together again next week. Guide us, direct us. We ask for your protection. And Father, we ask for your spirit, your presence to be with us throughout the day and throughout the week to come. We thank you for all good things, and we say this prayer now in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
So friends, we thank you for tuning in. And once again, until next time, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.